Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
The one thing about Salah, he's got a very strong sense of his own status and his own ability. It's not arrogance. He knows how good he is.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, a war of words erupts between Cork City boss Tim Clancy and last night's referee Damien McGrath. Alan Reynolds says there's no excuses for Bohemians falling to consecutive defeats, and Bayern Munich are set to raid yet another Bundesliga rival for one of their top stars. But first today, a war of words has erupted between Cork City manager Tim Clancy and referee Damien McGrath in the wake of last night's 2-1 defeat for the Leasiders away to Waterford. Padraig Amond and Kyle White found the net for the Blues, either side of a sending off for Cork's Freddie Anderson. Clancy was also shown a red card by McGrath as he remonstrated with the referee. It's not the first time McGrath has angered a Premier Division manager. Famously, he awarded a late penalty to Derry City at home to Shamrock Rovers last season, which resulted in Stephen Bradley accusing the official of incredible arrogance. Later that same month, Damien Duff bemoaned a mind-boggling decision from McGrath as they conceded late to St Pat's. Speaking to Virgin Media's Anne-Marie Keegan after last night's game, the Cork manager said exactly what he thought of McGrath's performance.
Freddie's conceded two fouls in the game, I think, and the referee's given him two yellow cards. Multiple of their players conceded a lot more than two fouls and weren't booked. I think if you look at the lead-up to Freddie's first booking, Kit Nelson goes to clear it and a player goes in with a studs up, it should be a free kick, he doesn't give it. And I thought Damien was really poor today, to be honest. There's one in the second half where Rory Keaton took a shot. It was one of the biggest deflections you'll ever see, and he gives a goal kick, and it took the fourth official, the other linesman, who's 50-60 yards away, to actually correct him.
Were you sent off for something you said to the official?
I said to Damien after the game, I said, I thought you were shocking. And what he said back to me was an absolute disgrace. He said, well, I thought your team were shocking. Now, that's a match official who's supposed to be officiating the game. I then said, I got at your ego getting the better of you, and he gave me two yellow cards and set me off.
Last night's result put Waterford top of the table with 9 points from a possible 12. Also speaking to Virgin Media, Keith Long shared what he said to his Waterford players at the break.
Yeah, well, it's just, we needed to raise it. We needed to lift our the intensity levels. You know, we needed to play with more control. We needed to play with more ball speed. We needed to move it quicker. We needed to move them side to side a little bit more. And because they were quite narrow at times, you know, we needed to penetrate more. You know, and we need to run. We need to ask questions. We felt that they'd get tired. They did get tired. Obviously, you know, they went down to 10 men and we're in control of the game, other than maybe our own sort of, you know, lack of concentration from Casper towards the end of the game. Outside of that, we were comfortable. We stretched them, we tested them, we worked their goalkeeper. The goalkeeper's made a couple of good saves. So second half, really, really pleased. More energy, you know, in a simple world, more energy, more intensity. We played more on the front foot second half.
Next up for Waterford is the visit of Bohemians on Friday night. Alan Reynolds offered no excuses for his misfiring Bow's side as they fell to a 1-0 defeat against Drogheda United at Dalymount Park. Former Bow's man Tom Alua found the only goal of the game after some poor defending from the hosts. Reynolds says his players need to dust themselves off quickly.
Look, we spoke about inside there. You can't go under from the pressure here. You know, the crowd are demanding, and rightly so. And we need people to be able to stand up and be strong in that situation. So the players are hurting in there, staff are hurting, so we need to respond.
On this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, former Bows captain Owen Heary pinpointed one pattern that needs to be broken.
If they're trying to keep the ball, they have the players for that, because that's what they're doing. But they're not creating chances. So, you know, I do think they have players. As I say, Parsons is good. He took on players once or twice, but again, it was recycled and come back out. Midfield, they have good midfielders. They have Tierney getting into the box, making some late runs, but again, nothing's going in for them to attack. We've seen, you know, in I think it was the game in the Aviva where he scored because he made a run into the box. But he's doing them runs and no one's giving him a chance. Now, he did get a chance in the 92nd minute, probably their only chance, which he blazed over. But Trotter, for their mind, solid, worked hard. There was one stage, Davis up front chased the left full, went to the centre half. He chased him to the following centre half, over to, and they just worked so hard. Whereas when we were talking that, if I'm right full, I was always told, miss that centre half out with a pass to hit the far centre half, because then that forward is not going to chase him because it's too far of a distance. Right. But you don't do that. It's just little 5 yard passes all the time, and it gives Drogheda a chance to set up.
There's a lot more from Owen and Barry Murphy on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, which you can access by becoming an Off the Ball member now. Drogheda have conceded just once in their four games and remain unbeaten. Manager Kevin Doherty is happy to prove some people wrong, even at this very early stage.
I don't think they're critics, to be fair, but we are the favourites every year to come down for it. And we really were this proper. But and look, again, you're right, I will just say it's only four games, but we have been well used to being the favourites to go down. It's been like that since I've been managing the club. But again, there's a hell of a lot of work to do. We're four games in. It's a long, long season. We have a lot of games this year. But no, we're playing well. It's a good start. That's probably all it is. And we just have to try and recover now and on to Friday.
Hello, it's Owen Chahan here from Off the Ball. And the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves in questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football, it's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Damien Duff described Shelburne's 1-1 draw away to Galway as one that got away. Evan Caffrey gave Shells the lead 7 minutes after the restart at Eamon DC Park, only for a John Martin own goal to level minutes later. Despite dropping points in back-to-back games, Duff believes things will come right for his side.
As I said before the game, I've mentioned Drogheda before, this is on a par. It's the hardest away ground in the country to come to, without a doubt. So, very, very pleased with our form, our performance tonight. Like I said, that 5-10 minutes didn't deal with wave after wave. But outside of that, we'll take the point and we'll go home.
Aidan Keane continued his impressive start to the new season for St. Pat's, taking his tally to 5 goals, both from the penalty spot in last night's 2-0 win at Derry City. The Candy Stripes' cause wasn't helped by the second half red card for Carl Winchester. After the game, our man Nathan Murphy caught up with Pat's latest sharpshooter.
Aidan Keane, you've been running your own goal of the season competition for the last couple of weeks, but the bread and butter stuff tonight.
Yeah, look, can't get any better than that. 2 pens, happy days, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously a slow start to the season, but the last 3 days, certainly attacking-wise, something seems to have clicked.
Yeah, it has, yeah. Look, give Drogheda and Galway their credit. They were very good defensively and good going forward as well, so they were good games. But good to get 2 wins from 2 now, and hopefully that's a little start or something.
And tonight was always going to be difficult because you were missing so many midfielders and an awful lot of attacking players on the pitch, but probably meant for the first sort of half an hour it was hard to actually get the ball, someone to win it back in the middle.
Maybe,
of the
field. You've Derry their credit as well. They came with a game plan as well, and they were good. They're always good at moving the ball and having possession. But after that sort of 20 minutes, half an hour, we kind of got a foot in the game then.
Yeah, that was some burst of pace for the first penalty.
And I will take that, yeah. And then Mace was flying past me as well. So, yeah, lucky.
Unselfish.
I had to give it to him. If I didn't give it to him around here, I'd be shot.
Were you surprised the referee took so long to point to the spot?
Yeah, I thought it looked stonewall, but I think it was his line who gave it in the end, so credit to him, yeah.
What's your routine for penalties? Have you made your decision?
Put the ball down, run up and smack it.
Right, as hard as you can, simple as that.
Yeah, and two of them went the same way tonight, so happy days.
You must be really pleased with how the season has started for yourself, from firstly the quality of the goals, the one down in Galway. I think a lot of people feel might well end up winning goal of the season to the Brace and Pride night as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice, I think it's up for goal of the month, I think. I knew there's a few good goals in there, but I'll just count as one, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Happy enough with them ones, just the same tonight as well.
A lot of expectation on Pats coming into the season with the way you finished last year and the nine in a row. Did you sense a different atmosphere around the place in the last couple of weeks to the end of last season, where there be a sense that you were almost sort of freewheeling to the finish line?
You know, as a player, you're just in one of them runs, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And everything kind of starts going for you when you have won a few games in a row, so... It's important that we got two in a row now.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the start of something new for us, yeah.
Shamrock Rovers remain the only Premier Division side without a win after going down 2-1 at Sligo Rovers. There was a goal and an assist for Reese Hutchinson, who set up John Mahan's winner 12 minutes from time. Sligo boss John Russell paid particular tribute to his match winner.
Delighted for him. Like, I thought he was outstanding tonight. And look, he's had a tough start to the season. And, you know, big players show themselves when they're under pressure. And tonight was a big game. Home and against Shamrock Rovers, and I thought him and Garrett were outstanding, but you know, for John, he really showed his quality in both boxes tonight, and delighted for him to get his goal.
Another one of your new signings, Jake Doyle Hayes, was everywhere this evening as well, wasn't he? He was brilliant.
He really was, yeah. He covered every blade of grass, top player, and I think he's only going to get better. But I thought him and Connor, you know, really bossed that middle of the park in the first half, picked up second balls and were really good on the resets. And Jake, he was just everywhere tonight. He was blocking shots in the edge of the box. He was carrying the ball forward, playing penetrating passes. So, yeah, there's a lot more to come from him.
And how do you carry that performance on now and into the next few games?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all about confidence, and we needed that shot in the arm tonight. You know, we didn't feel sorry for ourselves, you know, after the Pats game, you know, scoring all those goals and coming away with nothing. We knew the importance of the game tonight, and look, that's going to give lads confidence. We've beaten Shamrock Rovers, one of the top teams in the country, and it's about moving in now and recovering, because three games in a week is always tough on the body. But we move into Cork, looking forward to the game.
Russell's Shamrock Rovers counterpart Stephen Bradley was unhappy with how his side dealt with set pieces and the showground's turf.
Like I said, they did okay considering the pitch that it is. It's not about the performance. It's about doing your job and set plays. It's very, very simple. If you don't do the basics in football, you don't win football matches. And a corner kick and a free kick has cost us the game.
And big game on Friday now, Stephen, for you. Obviously, the games are coming thick and fast at this stage of the season.
Yeah, good one to look forward to. Dublin Derby, Pats at home. And again, we got to make sure that set plays, we do our job. Because if you don't, it costs us on Friday night. And it's cost us tonight, so it's definitely an area that we need to be better.
Aston Villa and Arsenal help get the last 16 of the Champions League underway tonight. Villa are playing a knockout tie in Europe's top competition for the first time in 43 years and are in Belgium to face Club Brugge from 5:45. John McGinn says manager Unai Emery's made clear he doesn't lack ambition and that recent comments may have been lost in translation. Emery had said they're not contenders to win trophies, but McGinn says the Spaniard meant they're not expected to claim silverware.
We don't listen too much to what the manager has to say in press conferences, because we know we might say things that we regret. So we're probably not favourites, but we are contenders.
Ivan Perisic has highlighted Arsenal's lack of recent trophies ahead of facing them in the Champions League tonight. The Croatian now at Dutch side PSV Eindhoven, who'll host the first leg of their last 16 tie. PSV have failed to win any of their last six matches in 90 minutes, but Perisic is confident they can get past a club he used to regard as a North London rival.
Last years, they are always missing something to step up, to win something, you know, I think. But we have to be ready, and I know that we're going to have a good chance to beat them.
The tie of the night is at the Bernabeu, where Real Madrid play Atletico Madrid. Tonight's other first leg sees last season's runners-up Borussia Dortmund at home to Lille. Bayern Munich look likely to continue their old habit of cherry-picking the Bundesliga's best players. Sky Germany report that talks are already underway to prize Florian Wirtz away from Bayer Leverkusen. The playmaker's contract at Leverkusen expires in the summer of 2027, and they remain hopeful of an extension. But Bayern are lying in wait to land Wirtz this summer, or in the summer of 2026 at the latest. And Barcelona have given up hope of returning to the Camp Nou this season. They were originally slated to go home to their renovated home in November of 2024, before that date was pushed back to last month. The next date in the calendar was the May 11th Clásico, but the third tier of the Camp Nou is still to be installed. Indeed, the roof of the new stadium is not set to be built until the summer of 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.
Remember one game, we were at Hull. We played against Wolves, 1-0 up at half-time, cruising. Phil Brown's the manager at the time. Yeah. He's like just delighted with the first half performance. The last thing he said to us when we were going out to go out for the second half, lads, first 15 minutes, just, you know, do your jobs, keep it tight. Within probably 2 minutes of the second half, Wolves had equalised against us. So everything that he said at half-time didn't register with us. We come in after the game, and he is in full mode, hammering the lads. So he's going for one or two of the players. You did this, you did that, what are you doing? And all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right at the very end, he said, lads, you lot go out and perform like that in front of me, the next England manager, lads. Come on, not with you, shower of...